Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
I want to be quick this morning. We don't have a ton of time, but I want you guys to go with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, this is a passage, other than the 9 o'clock, I've never spoken on this before, as in-depth as I'm going to get into this morning. And it's something that over the course of my life, I have learned to do what Jesus teaches us in John 13. But I've never taught on it. And what I have learned over the course of the past, years of my life and traveling, doing ministry, and following the Lord, things that my parents taught me, things that some of the most inspirational leaders that I know have taught me, come really out of John chapter 13. I've never spoken on it, but I felt like the Lord has really been feeding me through this this past week, and I felt led to put some language. And if what I give you this morning, if you put this into practice, if you do what I'm going to share with you this morning, if you create a habit in your home and your family of doing what Jesus models to us in John 13, I'm telling you, it will change your life. And I think where we're going to go might be a little surprising. So, are you guys ready? John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, now that Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he would depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them until the end. Before we get started, what's being presented in John chapter 13, verse 1, is that Jesus really loves his disciples. He knows the day is coming to an end, and he really loves his guys. The ones that he's been walking with, the ones that he's done life with, the families. I mean, he deeply loves Mary. He deeply loves Martha. He deeply loves Lazarus. He deeply loves the disciples of the 12 that were around him. And they haven't had much time together, but the time that they did have is coming to an end. And Jesus, knowing that, he wants to sit down and have dinner with them. I want you to imagine this moment. They're not fully aware what Jesus is about to do, nor are they fully aware of where Jesus is going. But I want to talk about the 2 years that he had with them. I want you to imagine you've got these disciples who are all out doing their thing, right? They're fishing and they're out doing their tasks and their businesses. But I want you to know who the disciples were, because the disciples were all boys who went to Hebrew school. They all went to Hebrew school. They all learned the Pentateuch. They all learned the scriptures. And the best and the brightest of every graduating class of Hebrew school, a rabbi would come along and say, hey, come and follow me. And the best and the brightest in school would go and they would follow a rabbi, and that would become like really a societal status was created, where they were the ones that were prized in the culture, the Hebrew culture. And so if Jesus finds the disciples out fishing, do you know who these boys were? They were rejected. They weren't good enough. They weren't chosen. These guys have all picked, a lesser task to go and build the family business to provide, put food on the table. And a rabbi comes. Jesus comes dressed as a rabbi. They see him coming and they know exactly who he is. He's one of the guys that rejected him. And Jesus comes to the banks of the shoreline. He goes, hey, come and follow me. And when he said that, he was speaking to outcasts and rejects who have moved on in their careers and their lives. And when they came, they did not know that he was Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. They didn't know that he was the Savior sent in the world to save all mankind. They didn't know the end that was coming. They didn't know that he was the very divinely created Son of God, Son of Mary and Joseph. They didn't know. And they go, yeah, Rabbi, we'll follow you. And they go on this journey, and all of a sudden, peculiar things start happening. All of a sudden, they're at a party, and bottles of water are being turned into wine. And all of a sudden, they're walking through the desert, and Jesus is getting baptized, and doves are coming down from heaven, and voices are booming, saying, this is my son. And they're going, well, this is odd. They're following a rabbi. And all of a sudden, signs and wonders begin to break out. But along with signs, wonders, and miracles, and the multiplying of fishes and loaves in this 2 years, they're also seeing, the Sadducees and Pharisees are wanting their life. They're being run out of towns with stones in hands. These men are being sent out on the ocean for the purpose of Jesus appearing to walk on water in the midst of a storm. Jesus sleeping at the bottom of a boat while they think they're about to capsize. These are the ones who are being rejected. Family members are rejecting them. Their lives are wanted. Crowds are forming. They're being pushed back, pushing back crowds. They're ministering to Jew and Gentile. They've been brought in this confusing world. They're being challenged over and over and over and over again. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? Do you believe me? They're being tested over and over and over again. In this time, they're in a crowd, and Jesus multiplies fishes and loaves for what could be up to 15,000 people in the valley. And they're like, they don't even know what's going on. They're just handing it all out. And at the end, Jesus gets all these happy, full-bellied people that are like, man, this guy's awesome. Big fans, you know? And they go, they're listening, and he goes, all right, now's the time for the message of my lifetime. I want you all to know that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have nothing to do with me. And Jesus intentionally scatters the crowd, and the 12 are left standing there, and Jesus turns to them, and he says, so what do you guys say? And Peter passes the test, man. Peter says, where else could we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Now listen, over and over and over, these events are happening, these things are happening, and now Jesus knows the end is coming, and it's been an intense couple years, man. Friends are dying. Jesus is late to raise him from the dead. We thought you'd come. Jesus said, I did this so that God would be glorified. You know, over and over and over again, they're in these situations. It has not been an easy 2 years. And Jesus, knowing the end is coming, and he knows there's somebody in the midst that's about to betray him. He knows this. This is the first moment that Jesus acknowledges that there's somebody in the midst. And Jesus sits down for dinner because he really loves them. And Jesus also knows that he's taken them on a pretty hard road. And I want to read the rest of this verse because this is where we're at. We have some tattered and beaten up dudes who love Jesus and are ready to roll. They're good, but they're tired and they're weary and their hearts are weak and they're exhausted and their lives are wanted. And Jesus goes, man, I love you guys. This is about to shift into a whole nother gear. Let's eat. And it says that in verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper and he laid aside his garments. He took a towel and he girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And he came to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter said, Lord, are you really about to wash my feet right now? And Jesus said to him, what I am doing you may not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then not only my feet, but also my hands and my head as well. I'm going to stop right there for a second because I want you to get what's going on. And imagine, open-toed shoes. We're talking sandals, Birkenstocks, right? And there's a lot of skin showing. And these guys have been on a hard road and they've been walking. Probably they've been taking some back paths, not main roads, because their lives are wanted. They're probably going in the cover of night and there's probably not clean roads. They probably have their feet covered, with poop. Right? I don't know how else to say it. I'm looking for like a really fancy word. With poop. Donkeys, a horse, and sheep are taking these roads. Now on top of that, we're talking about the dusty roads. We're talking about feet caked in mud. In Hebrew culture, it would have been incredibly disrespectful if you sat down and pointed your feet at the dinner table. But instead, what you would do is you would sit on your side and point your feet away so that your feet would, which is dirty, which is known to be dirty from carrying everywhere that you've been, and it's pointing away from the table. And if you were in a really well-received home, they would have a servant, and the servant or a child would be told to disrobe and to wash your feet. And Jesus is sitting down to have dinner, their feet pointing away. Jesus sits down and he takes off his garments and he puts a towel around his waist. He's literally taking on the role of a servant, and he gets down on his hands and knees and begins to wash their feet with the towel that's on him. Not a towel apart from him, a towel that is on him. He's literally dirtying himself to wash the feet of the guys he loves, and he's taking on a hard road. I took you guys places, let me wash your feet. I've taken you places where you've picked stuff up, let me wash your feet for you. It says in verse 10, Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew that there was one who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and you also should be washing one another's feet. For I've given you example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. There's only a few passages in scriptures that attaches a blessing to a behavior. Only a few. One of those is reading the book of Revelation. Another one is right here, that if you wash each other's feet, you will be blessed. I like that. I like that promise that there is a blessing available to the ritual of washing each other's feet, just as Jesus washed his disciples' feet. There's three things I want to pull out of this. There's some things that you might miss, because what we've turned this into is a ceremonial washing of people's feet. Anybody ever been in a foot washing? They're powerful. Well, it's one of the things our teenagers do sometimes at teen summer camp. And I mean, we've had people literally get healed of foot issues while their feet are being washed. It's powerful. But I want to present to you that what Jesus is saying is not that we are to literally have a foot washing, which is amazing. But Jesus is actually presenting something completely different to us. And what he is saying is, first of all, is that we need to be cleansed from our walk. And what I mean by that is that even the places where Jesus will lead us in our life will cause our feet to get dirty. Yes. Listen, anybody tune in last week to that message I gave? Man, challenging message. If you didn't listen to it, I would encourage you, get the podcast, go back, just listen to the message. It was about the knocking of the Lord, inviting us into the table of fellowship. And the open door to the life of the Spirit. It's Revelations 3 and 4. And there's this invitation, God calling us. And we hear the knocking of the Lord in the days of chastising. The days where God is training us through difficulty is the invitation to fellowship. I was talking about going through difficulty, and there's something about walking through difficulty. There's something about walking through hard seasons that God didn't offer it, but he is inviting you into fellowship in the midst of it. What does he say? And I lay a banqueting table in the midst of what? Your enemies, right? And there's stuff where the enemy is waging war against you. God did not offer this season, but if you have ears to hear, he's knocking and inviting you, saying, I'd love to eat with you right now. I have things to show you. I got things to deal with. I got things going on. I got some things to rebuke. I got some things to exhort. Let's sit down and eat in the midst of your trials and difficulties. And although God will give us amazing things through all these hardships and difficulties and seasons of life, that how many of you guys know sometimes we walk out of the difficulties of life with things that he never intended for us to carry out of them. You can grow in the Lord, you can grow in your prayer life, you can grow in all these things, but actually walk out with like a, you know, with a heaviness, with a lie, with an oppression, with a hurt, with a pain, with a wound, and you're growing in the Lord, baby, but that you still walked out carrying something. And when we go through seasons of life, the love of the Father wants to invite you into fellowship so he can stoop down and wash you of where you've been. You were not called to carry all of the dirt and all the weight and all the pressure of every season you've walked in. You were called to let Jesus kneel down and wash your feet. Now, we've always connected John 13. We've connected it to, you know, the washing of the feet is washing away sin. But I want to present to you, it can't be sin. He cannot be talking about sin right now because he's already agreed that they're already washed and clean. He says right here in 13:9, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed, which is that word, is literally about the ceremonial washing, the Jewish washing, that if you have already ceremonially washed yourself for fellowship, then I don't need to wash you again. You're clean. I mean, so we're not talking about sin right now. Maybe it's, but we're not talking about sin right now. We're not talking about Jesus washing, because we've always done this, and we're like, we're washing the sin away, and we're washing all the places, man. You've been walking in sin, and you've been carrying that sin everywhere you go, and we're going to let Jesus wash the sin off of you. That's not what this is. What this moment is, listen, I know things have been hard. And I know that, like, I know that I took you on the boat to show you that I can calm the wind in the waves. But I've noticed that look in your eye every time we get a boat. I see the hesitation. You're still a little scared. You were supposed to pick up as I can do anything. You weren't supposed to pick up to be scared of the boat. I know that I took you into some crowds to confront Pharisees and Sadducees. I know that I took you there. I know that your life was threatened and you watched God deliver us, right? That was amazing. God is a deliverer. But every time we go into a crowd, I see you eyeballing Sadducees and Pharisees, worried that they're going to pick up a stone. You got your eye on every stone around. And now every time you go into a crowd, you're looking over your shoulder. You picked up something that I did not teach you in that season and you're carrying it. Let me get down and wash your feet. Is this making sense to you? Along their timeline of following Jesus, they experienced pain, fear, shame, anxiety, worry. Everything inside of them that confronted their calling was being challenged in this time. You can grow in God and simultaneously grow distant in peace and loving. Listen, I get the privilege and the joy. I get to know, like, it's such a gift. I get to know amazing fathers of the faith. I have this opportunity to spend time with fathers and leaders and people that we look up to. They're so inspirational. And I'll tell you what, over the years and years that I have been eating with men and women of God that we love, we value, that we gain from their life, their apostolic and prophetic leaders of the world, I'll tell you this, is that I have witnessed some of the most deep level of carrying hurt and pain in some of their lives. Despite their gifting, their calling, their wisdom, their depth, their love, their kindness, their joy, all the things that we know that they carry, that there's also, there's a hesitation, intimidation, there's hurt and pain, because everywhere they walk, there was places where they were wounded and hurt, and that they will still need to invite Jesus to wash their feet. You can go all the places God's called you to and have great battles and still come out with dirty feet. And if we don't get in the practice of allowing the Lord to wash our feet, then we're going to carry things he never meant for us to carry. Is this making sense to you? And sometimes we don't even realize that we've carried something until we go through something similar again and we go, gosh, why did that cause me so much anxiety and worry this time? We go, oh my God, my feet are dirty. I watched God's hand of faithfulness, but I walked out with some fear. And there's something about ending a season and going, Father, would you wash me? Some of you guys have been on a phone call where maybe you're talking to a family member and man, they don't know Jesus, and so they just let some words fly. They called you some things. They said some stuff and you get off the phone and there's a heaviness all around. You go, my God. And if you don't allow Jesus to wash your feet after getting off that call, you might even start playing into some of the lies that were spoken over you. You get off that call, you put it down and go, man, I love them well, but God, just wash my feet. Yeah. I'm not carrying what they projected on me in that call. Jesus, wash me. This is something I've learned over time of walking through difficult seasons and like even recognizing when I didn't do this, now I'm carrying something, to go back to the Lord and say, Father, would you just wash me? Yeah. Wow. I'm carrying something that you never called me to carry. Would you wash my feet? Number one thing I want us to learn out of this is learning how to invite the Lord to wash our feet. Number two is this. It says, are you guys all right? Yeah. All right. In verse 10, Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. There's something else. This is the first passage in Scripture where we see Jesus exposing the plans and the plots of Judas. When Jesus chooses to wash their feet, to get low, to wash their feet, is the moment he starts exposing the plan. And I would like to present to us that when we allow Jesus to wash our feet, he will expose the Judas carnality of our hearts and minds. Okay, what I mean by that, because I'm not talking about, you know, there's a Judas in your home. God's going to expose that person. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that there are, it says in Jeremiah 17:9, it says that the heart is deceitful. Above all else, it is deceitful. It is wicked and sick. Who can understand it? That there are actually places in our heart and our life where there are things that are prone to a Judas mentality that wants to sabotage what God's made available for us. You go, well, how could that be? Well, let me explain to you. Has anybody ever gone through an incredibly difficult season where you feel the Lord drawing you deeper into fellowship with God and you end and like, today's the day, man. I'm going to fast a meal and I'm going to spend time with the Lord and we're going to dig in. Man, I'm going to read the 10-chapter challenge that I've been invited into and I'm going to spend time with the Lord and I get my Bible and all that kind of stuff and then the laundry calls my name. Right? Or we go through something incredibly triggering, pain and hurt and anxiety. And all of a sudden we get an alert on our phone saying, your activity is up 125% this week. And you go, shoot. I just distracted myself from my pain all week long. Or you know, we go through something and the busy, the to-do list takes over. But there's this knocking of the Lord, this invitation, this longing. But there's something in me that continues to withdraw and sabotage what God has made available. I know my breakthrough is on the other side of fellowship. I know that my breakthrough is the other side of prayer. But why is it that sometimes I'll go through a season of life and I forget to pray or I choose not to pray? And what we find is that subtle, right? We're like, it's just life, you know. And I want to present to you that your heart has a tendency to play Judas towards the Lord and to sabotage what he wants to make available. There's something in there that is not clean. What is it? Well, we invite the Lord to come and to wash, what will he expose? Because we're not talking about sin right now. Maybe we're actually talking about a lie of shame that's actually sabotaging your relationship with the Lord, and it keeps trying to tell you that that what you're going through is actually something that you caused by your sin, and so what is prayer going to do? Because you're already at a distance and at odds with God, and you've got to do certain things to earn back his favor so you can pray. And then all of a sudden, you know, you start thinking through all these things in life and you start coming up with all these reasons why God won't answer and God won't do this. And, you know, you're like, man, I just need to get some worship on. And you turn it to the country music station so you can wallow in despair with somebody else's song. Right? And you're like, I don't know why. I always want to listen to country music when I'm going through something bad. What is that about? And we're just deflecting, 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 deflecting. There's a Judas thing inside of me that is trying to reject the invitation of the Lord. And when we allow Jesus to come wash our feet, all of a sudden, we go, God, why have I been so busy? Why have I been deflecting? And then all of a sudden, the Lord comes in and goes, because you're believing a lie, Jamie. Let's just call out Judas that's trying to take you out right now. Because Jamie, because you remember this moment, and all of a sudden you might have a flashback to mom and dad, a moment where you asked for something and they rejected you. And you remember that moment of your childhood. You don't remember much, but you remember that moment from your childhood. And you go, why does that thing hit replay all the time? And the Lord's saying, because there's a wound in your heart that I want to heal. We never would have discovered it if we didn't let me wash your feet and expose Judas. There's a hurt and there's a pain that keeps lying to you. You think it's a kiss. It's not a kiss. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the Lord wants to walk you into healing. And he wants to wash your feet. He wants to make you clean. And he wants to heal that which is broken. He wants to heal that thing that keeps sabotaging your steadiness and your faithfulness in your walk. Is that right? One last thing. You ready for it? In John 13, are we okay? In John 13, he says this. He says, Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you who do them. And he says, now I want you to wash each other's feet. Because I'm leaving. You guys are going to go some places. Your feet are going to get dirty again. He knows, Peter, you're going to reject me. Thomas, you're going to doubt me. You guys are going to hide in holes and wonder what's going on. I'll visit you. You don't know that yet. I'm going to come and visit you, but there's a lot of things are about to happen. Your feet are going to get dirty again, and you can't wait just for me to wash your feet. I need you to wash each other's feet. And at this moment of supper, of community, of fellowship, of family, he's commanding them, take care of each other. When one of you starts going through a season and at the end of it starts acting weird, wash their feet. You know what I mean by that. Somebody full of faith and zeal and excitement goes through something, and now they're different, they're distant, they're hard, they're not the same. That there is a community of people that look around and go, you're acting weird. We need to wash your feet. Well, who's lied to you? What lie are you believing? What's going on? Let me tell you how amazing you are. Let me tell you how faithful God is, how he loves you so deeply. I need to wash your feet. In Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church as he gave his life down for her. It says, and wash her with the waters of the word in order to sanctify her, to make her presentable to the Lord again. Listen, that there is something about the washing of the waters of the word. There's something about washing each other with the waters of the word where someone's going through something and we show up and we start bathing them with the love and the truth of Jesus over their life. That we actually start identifying that none of us are going through anything alone, but that we're going to show up and we're going to wash each other's feet. And we're not going to let anybody go through a season. Somebody's mother or father passes away and there's so much regret and there's replays and all this stuff going on. It's so difficult that we would be a people that would not walk away saying, yeah, been there, it's hard. But we'd actually be a people that just says, hey, listen, let me make you a meal. Can we sit down? Can we eat? I want you to know that it's all under the blood. You are a good son and good daughter. Let me just speak truth over you right now, and let me just go to all those lies of regret and let's deal with some stuff right now. You need your feet washed. You walked through the loss of a loved one and you came out with some dirty feet, man. Let's wash them. That we'd be a people, how many of us know, especially over the past 3 weeks, one of the things that the Lord is like, we preach it all the time, but it's cool to walk it out. It really is cool to walk something out as we have the past couple weeks where we get to go, you know what, church is not a meeting. Nope. I mean, I'm thankful we're here. This is awesome. Happy to be back together. But church is not a meeting. Church is a family. It's a community. It's an active member moving that shows up for each other. You are never alone. There's always a people to wash each other's feet. And there's also something about learning how to do this even as husbands and wives. Husband or wife comes home from work. Man, their boss lit them up today. They were having a bad day, projected the whole thing on them. And they come in, there's a heaviness. Spouse goes, what's going on? Man, today was so hard. Man, today was so difficult. Walked through some crazy stuff. And they said this, this, and this. Husband and wife, come on. Let me just wash your feet. Don't carry that. You're not meant to carry that. You are amazing. You are called by God. You are a beloved son. And we're not going to focus right now on the things that they said. You're going to overcome in this situation. And husbands and wives learning to wash each other's feet, to go through something and take care of each other. You're not alone. You're not isolated. We're showing up for each other. We've learned to wash each other's feet. You know, my kids, I started noticing this weird thing with them. Well, they started talking about bad things. Maggie, it's kind of funny. Maggie started trying to run away from home. We're sitting on my couch one day, and I'm sitting there. We're talking, and Shannon goes, "A suitcase just went flying out of the upstairs window, right in front of the kitchen window." And my wife goes, "Oh my! I think she's trying to run away." We go upstairs. She's got a backpack. I mean, you know how it is. It was like the kids like just didn't share or something. But Maggie told herself, I don't want to be part of this family anymore. And she chose, that's sad, right? And she goes, I want to run away. The girl actually, after talking to her, made it halfway to Jane and Marie's house. She was coming to you guys. If you get a little knock at your door, you thought you heard her? Yeah, you might have. All of a sudden, we turn around, and she's through the woods to our neighbors, Jane and Marie, and she's on their way to her house. I said, what are you doing? And she said, they're going to take me to somebody else's house. They're going to drive me. The girl had it mapped out in her head. But we started paying attention, and there were words. There were words coming out of her mouth that were not true. There were words like, I'm stupid. Words like, I'm this and I'm that. So I started having a conversation with her about words of life and words of death. And we just started asking the question, are you poisoning yourself or are you feeding yourself? Out of Proverbs. We started asking that question. And so at that night, we got together and I said, all right, what are some of the biggest lies you guys face? And Hattie and Magdalena go, that I'm not funny and that I'm too little and I'm this. And they just started listing off all that stuff. And go, but what does Jesus say? And so we started identifying all the things that Jesus says. And so we started this thing that every night we get together as a family, and I say, repeat after me. God made me. Everyone say it, ready? God made me.
God made me.
And God doesn't make mistakes.
Say,
God made me. And he calls me beautiful.
He says,
I am strong.
He says,
I have a powerful voice.
He says,
my family loves me.
He says,
I am smart.
Let's
go down that whole list. And that whole time that we're doing that, we're washing them. We're washing them with the waters of the word. That whatever lie they came into agreement with that day, whatever thing that they were feeling inadequate in, is that we could wash our kids' feet. That they would carry nothing into the night, nothing into the day. That our kids, we would stoop low and we would wash their feet. My point is this, is that as a community, are we all right? As a community, we have to be a people that washes each other's feet. That we have to be a people that show up. That we don't remove ourselves from somebody's difficult season, but we know that where you've been, and I'm checking in on you. You went through a hard season, checking in on you. Something hard happened, we're going to take care of you, but how's your heart? We're not going to let anybody walk through anything alone. We're not going to underestimate the potential pain that you're feeling. But we're going to check in, going through a hard thing with your marriage. We're going to check in. How can I wash your feet in the season? How can I serve you? Can I make you meals? What can I say? What lies are you struggling with? How can I wash your feet right now? Because Jesus says that if we model him in this, that we would be blessed. And God wants to teach our community on how to do, and I think we're an amazing community at this already, but to give us language about washing, husbands and wives, washing each other's feet. As a community, washing each other's feet. Not only that, but allowing Jesus to come in, expose that Judas thing that wants to disrupt your life and why you've gotten into patterns of not worshiping or not praying or not reading or, you know, being distracted, all that kind of stuff. He wants to wash your feet, expose the Judas lie, come in and restore and heal the very thing that got triggered. And he wants to make you clean because it's not just about sin. It's about life is hard and we're not called to carry it. Is that all right? Why don't you guys stand with me?